Hello, this is Elvira, and I welcome you to the Fruit Factory. We are a prophecy and teaching ministry that is helmed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Fruit Factory is a call to true Israel and the End Times Church. It is time for harvest, and the Lord Jesus Christ is sounding the trumpet that only the fruitful will make it. So are you being fruitful? What kind of fruit are you bearing? Are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, or are you bearing fruit for the kingdom of darkness? This is the question you must be asking to yourself today. This is why I have been sent. I have been sent to true Israel and the End Times Church. True Israel is not the current Israel. The current Israel is the synagogue of Satan. They are devil worshippers. They are the occultists, the Luciferians, and the Satanists that disguise themselves and pretend to be Jews when they are not. They are Ashkenazi Jews, which does not even fall under the mantle of Semitic people. They bully you and call you anti-Semitic every day. As soon as you say something that their mafia does not agree with, or that does not fit their script of lies and deceit, they call you anti-Semitic. Yet, when you look at the different bloodlines, you can go to 1 Chronicles in your Bible and look at that. The descendants of Shem, which is the father from which the word Semitic is taken. Ashkenazi Jews are not even descendants of Shem. They've been lying and they continue to lie. They took that emblem of witchcraft, those triangles, which is actually the sign of the beast 666. Yes. That is on the flag of Israel. Satan is literally mocking God and have turned the Israel, which Satan knows God cherishes enormously. He has taken that and turned it into a city of Satanists, into a synagogue of Satan. And those are the ones that you're defending, the evil people that you're defending and sending money to support. That's not who I was sent to. Even though they will listen to this, I know they're listening. I've been dealing with them since 2022. The Lord began this work in 2022. It's just that I was not called to be here talking like this, because the Lord works in steps. He's strategic. He's methodological. He's methodological. Methodological. Excuse me. English is actually not my first language, so sometimes there are words like this that I may stumble upon. But I am not here for the fake Jews. Yet they will listen, and a lot of the things I will be discussing here will include them, because they will vacate Israel. They will be chased out and killed, so that real Israel can come into the land of the promise, just like the Lord always said. So, today I want to continue the series of Stop the Leak. And I did a part one, which I published yesterday. I am recording this on August 22nd. And we will continue with talking about sin. That is where I ended the last teaching. And so, I was saying in that teaching that there is no greater sin. Excuse me. There is no greater sin. Because Jesus died for all sins. And I explained that no sin is greater than the other, because any sinner can receive the same atonement, no matter the sin they did. Whether you said what you call white lie, Or you said you killed someone, you're a serial killer, you receive the same forgiveness. The serial killer does not have to do something extra for God to forgive him. He, with the same humble heart that he comes before the Lord, with the same sincerity in his repentance, he repents and God forgives him. And the same thing is with the person who told a half-truth and lied, but thought that this is not harming anyone. Yet you're lying. And lying is part of the Ten Commandments, that you should, the things that you shouldn't do. So you are rebellious, you are sinning against God. Whether you think that it's harming anyone or not, it's not relevant. It is a lie. So you're guilty. And when you're guilty, if you do not repent, you will be afflicted, terribly afflicted by the Lord for that sin. And the same humility that the thief and the murderer needed to have to come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness and be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, which atones for that sin, for those multiple murders. That is the exact same attitude and process for someone who said a, quote, white lie, end quote. So this is why sin is sin, and there is no greater sin than the other. What is different, however, are the consequences of the sin. These may differ in the physical realm where we are right now, because the natural laws that the Lord has installed in creation has made it such that there are certain things that if you do, there is a greater consequence that comes with that than others. There are also governmental laws in our countries of residence, right? If you kill someone, you're not getting the same prison sentence than someone who lied. Depending on the lie you told, it will probably not even take you to prison, depending on the lie, because they're treacherous lies which will take you to prison. Or lies that take people's lives, you will go to prison. You understand? Spiritually speaking, it's the same. The type of spirits that will enter your life when you engage in sexual immorality are not the type, the same kind of spirits that will enter your life if you are telling a lie. Different spirits operate in different ways. So the result, the consequence of your sin may differ, but the sin itself in the eyes of God will be looked upon as sin. Sin is sin. So you must understand this. These are things that Christians do not know. They call themselves Christians, but they do not know these fundamental things because no one ever taught them this. So you as a Christian, you've been going around telling white lies, telling lies. Let's remove the white thing. Telling lies. You've been walking around fornicating, having adulterous relationships. You've been swearing with the word of God in your mouth, thinking that, you know what, it's nothing big. You've been saying, oh my God, Lord forgive me, or Jesus Christ, Lord forgive me, I am just illustrating such things. Or the real people who use the name of the Lord in vain are those who call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, believers in Christ, but act nothing like it. You are blaspheming the name of God. You are misrepresenting him. You are using his name in vain. That is why in these audios, these broadcasts that I have been recording, especially the last one, I've been asking you people who claim to follow Jesus, but you do not believe in the Bible, You do not read it. You do not apply it. You question it. You question God. You question Jesus. You question if the Old Testament is still valid. These things that you do, remove from your identity the part where you call yourself a Christian, because you are using the name of God in vain. You are blaspheming God. Rip it off and go and be with the heathens if you're going to act like one. If you act like a heathen, then don't call yourself a Christian. Many of you still do witchcraft. You're buying crystals, you're buying tarot cards, you read horoscopes, you worship the moon, you're waiting for the full moon, and I don't know what these people, what other things that these New Age people do. When the Word of God says clearly that it is an abomination to consult diviners, to do astrology, and to do witchcraft, and occultism, and sorcery. Yet, you have spell books in your house. Oh no, I'm just curious. What are you curious about? You're curious about darkness? Do you know why you're curious about darkness? Oh no, the tarot cards, it was just a gift. I just saw it and I thought, do you know why? Because you are Satan's child. You are his bride. You do not belong to Jesus. If you did, these things would make you vomit. But you embrace it. Oh no, what is it? I'm just going to buy a few crystals, son. Because you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. You claim you are. You said it with your mouth, but you never believed it in your heart. Maybe you believed it in your heart for a split second, but then you threw it away. I'm a believer, but God loves me as I am. No, he doesn't. He actually does. My goodness. He actually doesn't love you the way you are. If he loved you the way you were, he wouldn't have come on this earth and died so that you would stop being sinful. Why did he die? If he just loved you the way you were. If he loved your sin, why did he die for your sin? Please use logic. Please use your brain. God does not love you the way you are. I said it. Go and complain. Send me emails. He hates the things you do. And he does not claim you as his son or daughter. No matter how much time you spend calling yourself that, if you do not do the things that he asks you to do, if you do not walk the path that he set forth before you, which is the narrow path, the hard, difficult path, the path where people will look at you and tell you that you are a fundamentalist. People will tell you that you are an extremist. Yes, you are. You should be. Because Jesus was. He was extremely rigorous in his life. You have no rigor. You have no discipline. You're like this flow, this volatile person. And you call your, yes, God just loves us all. If you do not believe in hell, what are you doing here? Hell is a construct. It is some place in your heart. My sister, my brother, what are you doing here? Just pack up and get ready for the lake of fire. Pack up, start packing. That is where you're going. That lake of fire that you say does not exist, whether you think that it exists or not, that's where you're going. The same way people who say that the Bible is this, they want to discredit it. No matter what you think about it, it will never change the fact that this book is the infallible, perfect Word of God. Like the ones who want to question God. But why does this place say this? Huh? Why does this God do this? My friend. Whether you believe, whether you ask yourself why or not, he is still God. He doesn't even need you. You know, this is a favor that he does to you. A massive sacrifice that he doesn't even need to do. I am here. He sent me to talk to you here. He doesn't need to. Because whether you believe in him or not, he remains God. He's up there. He's God. Whether I do this work or not, He stays God. Whether you go to heaven or to earth, he will continue to be God. He has absolutely nothing to win. He has no interest in you believing in him. Do you know that? You Christians who sometimes want to argue with people who speak such foolishness, the type of foolish things that I am talking about right now, don't argue with them. Don't. If they cannot understand that this is a benevolent king, he does not have to do the things he do. He did not have to choose me, prepare me, and then send me to be talking to you right now. But yet he did. That's the part of him that loves you. He loves you so much that he will take his time, put in effort to give teachings like the one that he's giving right now, to give the prophecies that he's made me publish, the things that he's dictated to me. He will sit me down for hours and talk to me and ask me, write it down and then go and publish it. I want my people to hear this. That's the loving part of him. And that love is so that you will realize that you belong to Satan and you will decide to change, to switch sides and actually start living the way that the Bible asks you to do. Even start reading that book. You don't even read it, do you? This is what the word of the Lord says in 1 John chapter 2. It says, "Now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Walk just as he walked. How are you walking? You are walking like Satan. That is why your life is leaking. The title of this series is Stop the Leak. Your life is leaking because you are walking like Satan. You are Satan's bride. You are married to the world. You are married to him. That is why you man, you husband, you young man, you teenage boy, you do not know who you are as a man. You listen to the Jordan Petersons, Satanists, who teach you doctrines of devils. You sit there, you listen to them, you read their books, and you cannot spend 15 minutes in your Bible every day. You will sit and listen to 4 hours of his demonic Bible, how does he call it, Father? I forgot the title. Bible series, something like that. Demonic. The man tells you, "I do not believe in Christ. I do not confess." He didn't even do like the fake preachers who are in the church passing for pastors. He told you flat out. He does not confess. He does not consider himself a Christian. Yet you sit there and you listen to him. And what do you think your life will be like? These rappers you listen to who are pedophiles, sodomites, they kill, they destroy you. All that their music is as witchcraft spells to get you to die. It is their music. If you have suicidal thought, if you have this voice in your mind that has been telling you, just this is not worth it. Get it over with. These voices, these compulsions, where does it come from? It comes from that filthy music you're listening to. That is how your life is leaking. You are withering. The word of God says in John 15, he talks about those who are the unfruitful branches. And this is what he says. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus was talking here to his disciples, people who were actual citizens of the kingdom of God, people who were actual believers, his best friends. Yet he was telling his best friends, who had been living with him for 3 years, listening to him morning till evening, praying with him, doing miracles with him, traveling with him, people who were tight with him. Yet to them, he was saying, you who has no branch, if you have no branch, you may be sitting here and I call you my friend. But if in the end I come and I see that there is no fruit on your branch, this is your fate. Your fate is that you will be cut off and thrown into the fire. So you all who don't even want to listen to what he has to say, what do you think will happen to you? That is why you are withering. Your life is withering. Withering means to be devoid of water, to be devoid of life, to be flaccid. Your life is death. You, husband, you have no control over your household. Your wife rules over you. Why? Because you are withering. You were never taught to be a man. You've been listening to podcasters, these evil, demonic, satanic men, and looking at them as your role models. This Jordan Peterson, drug addict, has mental disorders, does not even believe in Christ. But he sits there, writes books, you sit down and you read to them, and you open your mouth and you say, this man helped me so much at such a difficult time in my life. What about the Christ? Have you given him that kind of attention? When he is the only one who can actually teach you how to be a man, because he is the man, the blueprint. He is the blueprint. The Bible calls him the second Adam. The first Adam fell, right? He sinned. So the Lord said, look, I am going to go down there myself and show these men what it is like to actually be a man, to actually be Adam, the original man. And he did so, and it is documented in the Gospels. Four whole books, four different authors documenting the life of the same man. Historical, factual information that you can sit and read and study and learn through the Holy Spirit how to emulate you as a man. Because this society is going nowhere until the men return to their position. The Lord created an order on this earth. He created an order in the family. He did that. I am not talking about psychology, psychiatry, human behavioral studies. I don't deal with that. I deal with spiritual things of the kingdom of God. And that is where your mind needs to be. You need to rip yourself off of the world. You need to cut all those ties with the demonic, satanic system that Satan, he has put those men there to lie to you. The Andrew Tate, what a horrible human being that man is. And you sit and you clap for him. And you're talking about blue pills and red pills. Men are so lost that they have lost their own minds. Meanwhile, the perfect man is sitting there in that book that your grandmother gave you, that your pastor gave you, that you have not opened for 70 years. It is still closed, packed in that suitcase. The Bible. The perfect man is sat in that book waiting for you to come and seek. And what does his word say? What will happen when you seek? Seek and you will find. Did you seek him for your identity as a man? They teach you how to be violent, go to jail, how to kill yourselves, how to abuse your women, how to reject your children. They teach you how to have sex with other men, how to have three different wives, sister wives, witchcraft. And you sit there and you listen to them. Meanwhile, the kingdom of God is the church is dying. Israel is dead. True Israel, dead. Judah, who is in the United States, the black population of the United States, dead. Because you have rejected Christ. You have rejected him. And you will continue to wither. You will go to jail for the fourth time in 2 years. As I speak this, it will continue until you lower yourself, break that pride, break that bitterness, the boiling anger inside of you. Only Christ can break that. But for that to happen, you need to humble yourself before him and tell him, look, I've been trying to wing this thing and it's not working. Those rappers are lying to you. The social media accounts are lying to you. They have been planted by the devil to destroy you. And Satan knows, he knows how precious Israel is to God. That is why he is so highly concentrated in the destruction of the men of Judah, the men of the black community of the United States. Because the Bible says that when the regathering happens, it will begin with Judah. He will pull Judah out of the pit first. You don't believe me? Let's go and read it. And you know the pity? The pity is that Satan knows this. He knows what God says about you more than you do. That is why he can manipulate you. He can lie to you. He can kill. He can rob you. Plunder you. Because you do not know what God actually says about your life. You do not know his plans for you. You have no fellowship with him. You have no relationship with him. There is nothing. You reject him. You would rather have five baby mamas. You in the church, you would rather sit there and watch your children be devoured by the satanic systems. The satanic systems of the world. This place is called TikTok. You do not supervise your children. They learn what they do, what they know from social media, from these satanic spirits. Who do you think rules social media? Do you think it is Jesus Christ who is the authority over social media? You yourself, you do not care for your children. And then you abandon them to Satan. And after that, you will cry to God, but why did my child die? Your child died because he was a little devil and he hid it from you. But the penalty, the judgment for his sin fell upon him. Hello? What did Jesus just say? We just read it. You can't say that I am being harsh. We just read it. And it is in the New Testament, by the way. We just read it. You are the branch that does not bear fruit. You're cut off, left to wither, and then burned in the fire. Simple. So if your children are bearing fruit for Satan, they will be cut off, left to wither and burned in the fire. You know, this thing is so simple. People want to complicate this stuff, but it is so straightforward. The word of the Lord says it clearly. Your families are dying. And you, Judah, the Lord will begin with you. He will start with you for the freedom of Israel. And this freedom, the regathering, it is happening in this generation. You've heard it here. If you're 40 years of age and under, you will see Judah and the rest of Israel return to the current land called Israel and more of it. Because it was not even the complete land. The totality of the land that the Lord Jesus Christ promised his people, they are returning and you will see it. And life will never be the same on the earth after that. I am speaking the words of the Lord. I am speaking to you the words of the Lord. Men, I'm talking to you today. What is wrong with you? Satan is afflicting you. That is what is wrong. You are withering. And you're withering because you are not connected to the branch. That is why you're withering. Sorry, it's morning, I'm still drinking my coffee. That is why you're withering. Because Satan is afflicting you. You live in death, you live in darkness. You think you're living your best life listening to Andrew Tate. That narcissist, demonic narcissist, an abuser of women, a rapist, a plant. It is so obvious that he's planted by Satan. How can you listen to that man? How is it possible? I have never even listened to more than 2 minutes of what that man has to say because it just irked my ears. And that is what happens when you have the Spirit of the Lord in you. Anything that is not of God, you reject it. The way men worship that man, Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson is a Satanist. I am not saying that he's not a Christian. I'm saying that he practices Satanism. I have seen him. The Lord has shown me this man, his conversations with Satan. He talks to Satan face to face. That is the man that you're looking up to. Even though you can look at his life and see no good fruit in his life. None. Remove the smoke and mirrors of his lectures and his things that he does, that he sits there like he was a god to talk to people. Remove all of that facade. Where is the fruit? The fruit is that he has mental issues, mental disorders, which are also afflictions of Satan, by the way. If you're struggling with mental disorders, it's because you are a branch that is unfruitful, that was cut off, and that is withering. You are withering. You are leaking. Your life is leaking. He is a drug addict. He self-medicates. He takes psychedelics. That is the biggest red flag ever. And he asks you to take it. Oh, yeah, it can help. Guys, the Joe Rogans that you look up to, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of thought. This man who spends days, hours blaspheming God, and you sit there and you listen to every new episode. Where are you going? He blasphemes the Holy Ghost 24/7. Sometimes he even has specific episodes where it's all that he talks about. Blaspheming. And you sit there as a man. And this is the spirit of blasphemy that you're allowing into your life. What do you think will be the fruit of that? Do you think the fruit of that will be a virtuous woman who is submitted to you, who is a wonderful mother and wife with whom you will raise a family, a strong family in the Lord, and receive the dominion that the Lord Jesus Christ promised when he said that I have given you the keys to the kingdom, that everything that you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and everything that you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Is that what you think you will receive by following these satanic men? Meanwhile, the blueprint, Jesus himself, he came in the flesh, God in the flesh. He came here as a man because he knows the order that he has given to things, that the men, it begins with them. They are the head and then the women and the children. It does not mean that they are superior to women. It just means that within the order, the Lord has put a responsibility on the man's shoulders to lift the family, to lift society. And when the men know their position, women can fulfill their roles of being the helpers of the men. This is not psychology, psychiatry, and conservatism. This is spiritual laws in the kingdom of God. Natural law. You step away from that, you are like a fish who decided to get outside of the water. You will suffocate and die. And that is exactly what is happening to you. That is why you're withering. You're withering. You're suffocating. You do not know how to run your house. Your wife, she tramples you. Your children insult you and disrespect you. You single men, you can't even find. You go from women to women, women to women. And if you're not doing that, then you can't even really find a girl that you can approach and get to know in the Lord. You're struggling. What does it mean? They're telling you that your masculinity is a curse. This is satanic agendas. Feminism, satanic, Jezebel spirits. You're under attack and you do not know what to do because you have rejected the blueprint of manhood. Jesus has shown you how to protect the children. He said, "You let the children come to me because it is he who is like this child. If you do not become like this child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." You have seen him protect children, defend women, heal people, teach them. This is what manhood is about. Protection, providing for people. He fed people out of a few pieces of bread. Not once, but twice he did that. Being a provider. Jesus has shown you the blueprint of manhood, but you have rejected him. And then you complain. You complain. And you go and you sit and you listen to the Jordan Petersons. And you read their books and you worship them. Meanwhile, the one, the only one who can teach you and restore you to your position as a man, as a leader, you have rejected him. You must break the idol, that idolatry you do with the stars that you watch and the Ben Shapiro's. All those people are the Daily Wire. They're just another face of the same coin. And that coin is called Satanism. One coin is on CNN. The other coin is on the Daily Wire. Please open your eyes. Seriously. Seriously. The Donald Trumps. The same, another face of the same coin. Open your eyes. We are coming to a time when homosexuality will be the norm. It is the heterosexuals who will be aliens in this world, who will be the ones that people look at and say, "What? You're heterosexual?" We are coming to a point where men will not. All men will want to dress like women and women like men. That is all you will see on the street. Everyone. Only a very small portion will be able to escape this. And for that to happen, you need to get to know him. the most perfect version of a man, Jesus Christ. You do not do this. You have no chance. No, none. You've been spending 20, 30, 40 years learning manhood from I don't know whom. Even your pastors are pedophiles and they are gay, sodomites. So they can't teach you manhood. Your pastors are sodomites. I'm not saying this lightly. Your pastors are sodomites. These people you watch on TV, on your screens, on YouTube, the Stephen Furtick's and the Michael Todd's and the T.D. Jakes and the likes, the Tony Evans, sodomites. And these are the men that you listen to, you watch on social media and you're saying, my pastor, gay. And then you will wonder why your life, you're having your, this is your second or your third marriage. And then you wonder why at some point you start having homosexual pulses. Because you've been drinking from the cup of homosexuality. You've been drinking from the cup of Satanism. You will sit and listen to a man disrespect the Bible, tell you that, interpret it as similes and fables. And you'll sat there, yes, wisdom. Oh my goodness. He broke it down so well. I'm telling you what the Lord is revealing to me. I have not watched those videos. Yes, the truth must return. He has the truth in his tongue like nothing. Meanwhile, he is an agent of deception. You need to open your eyes. You really do. I'm not even, the rappers and all of that, it is so obvious. I mean, come on. The sportsmen, come on. You are withering. Withering. And I just want to read this to Judah. If you want to know more about Judah, go and read The Great Deception. At the beginning of the prophecy, The Great Deception, you go to thefruitfactory.co, our website. You type in The Great Deception, the first part of that prophecy. I detail these things about Judah. Who are Judah today? So Zechariah 12 verse 7 says, "The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah." Judah will come first. Judah will come first, and Judah is extremely unqualified. The men of Judah, if you do not wake up, what are we doing? Is it the women who are going to lead an exodus? Not in the plan of God. God is not going to do things the reverse way. He has installed an order and he will do it according to that order. So you men, you seriously need, I mean, seriously, this satanic spirit of feminism has eaten you up. You need to return to the source of humanity and the source of manhood, Jesus Christ. And you need to kneel before him, humble yourselves, and tell him, look, I've been trying to do this and it's not been working. Please, I need your help. I've been trying to look like the big guy, but really I am in pain inside. I am frustrated and hurt. That is why I walk around with a gun and I'm ready to kill anything that moves. You need to humble yourself before him and say, yes, I married a Jezebel spirit, but I am the man of this house. And you said in your word, Lord, you created Adam first. So there is something I'm not doing right. How do I take back the control of this household the way that your word asked me to? Not by abusing my wife, shouting on her and beating her up and asking her to shut up and all these things that the Andrew Tates and the red and blue pills tell you. That is foolishness. It is abuse. It is hurt, frustrated, and satanic manhood. Tell God, Lord, please, I need to be healed. And I know that you have a big plan for me. And with the things that are coming, my friends, read Daniel 12. Read Revelation 6. Read Revelation 9. Read Matthew 24. Read Isaiah 24. These things, some of them are already here. Some of them are already here. The end. The very, very, very end. I am an end times prophet. The very, very end is here. Go to the blog, thefruitfactory.co, and read the prophecies that the Lord has started to make me release there of the end. There is a prophecy called the 1984 manhunt, which talks about how Satan is currently working on the brigade of spies to assassinate true Christians. And it will not happen in broad daylight. It will not be the future and martyrdom, because martyrdom is coming when we are going to be hung in the public place. Do you listen? Please listen to me. Please listen to me. Read those chapters. Daniel 12. The beast system is Revelation 13. The different seals, Revelation 6. And if you read between, you should read the whole book of Revelation, by the way. When you read Revelation 6, you will see that we are already living through a big part of it. And more death is coming. So many people will die. You've not seen death yet. You thought the pandemic was deadly. You have not seen death. You have not seen death in your lifetime. The Lord said in a prophecy, only 5% of you will actually make it in the end, in the very end. And these ones are only going to be the ones, the remnant of Jesus Christ. Every other person who is not the remnant will be killed at the very end. And you want to be part of that remnant, trust me, because your death will be atrocious. And the destination after that death will be the lake of fire if you're not the remnant. So, Satan has been battling me. I recorded this yesterday. The audio was gone. And I recorded it today. When I played it back, the audio was gone. And I'm recording it for the third time. This is because he does not want you to hear this. So we were talking about sin. I'm going to finish the topic of sin. And then we're going to talk about confession and repentance. This is part of the Stop the Leak series, which is a series that the Lord asked me to record. This is not on the blog or anything. I am just sitting here and allowing the Holy Spirit to talk. This was not planned in advance. So, sin is sin. And the Bible often singles out sexual immorality in the list of different sins because it has a grave consequence. Sex is a spiritual experience that creates soul ties and the blood covenant between the people involved. And sex invites all kinds of foreign entities into your life. Sex is the easiest way for you to get sick. For your blessings, your destiny, your star, right, to be stolen and robbed from you. From your resources and financial prosperity to be plundered. Sex is that direct link. The direct link where Satan just sits there as you're having sex with that woman outside of marriage, as you're having those orgies, as you're doing all of these things. Satan is just sucking, draining you as you're having that affair and enjoying yourself. You know, you need to reach a point where you look at sin, right? And you say, is it worth it? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. This is going to cost me too much. Sinning this sin is going to cost me too much. I can't. At the end of this series, that is how you should. You cannot afford to sin, my brother, my sister. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. People who still battle sin have not understood this. When you start understanding how much Satan drains you, how much you are leaking because of your sin. It's like he's at the well and just sucking the life out of you as you're having that sexual experience with that woman out of marriage, as you're going to move in with that man, to be shacking up every time you go to bed with him. Satan is like, oh, thank you. Just drinks, sucks the life out of you. Every time you go to that rendezvous with that woman, so you go to that hotel, you're a married man, but you are at that hotel with that little 17-year-old. Satan is like, thank you very much. He's sucking your life, draining you. Every time you tell that lie, you file that false report, he's like, thank you. You just gave me leeway to come and plunder. You had a promotion ahead. You didn't know. They wanted to promote you in 2 months. But there you are. You just opened the door and Satan is going to gladly come and rip that promotion out of your life and move out and say, please file another one. Please file. That's how you're going to start sinning more and more and more and more. And you're living in death. You're withering. You're withering. Living in death. Desolation. And you sit there and you're depressed because you cannot provide for your family. You sit there and you're depressed because you're broke. You women will spend more time getting ready for a date than you will spend reading your Bible. What a pity. What a pity. The life is being sucked out of you. Your life is leaking to the kingdom of darkness, the pit of darkness. You are sinking in that pit. And you do not realize that it is by your own doing. You have given legal grounds to Satan to afflict you because you are sinning and you're not repenting of your sin. You do not live according to what the Bible asks you to do. And the Lord sacrificed himself so that you would have that opportunity to come and repent and do better. But you don't take that opportunity. You call him a white god in the sky. Or you call his ideas archaic ideas, right? You want to continue to do your homosexuality. Meanwhile, you are sick. Your rectum is malfunctioning. And you want to continue to give this image that I am happy in my sin. You are not. Stop lying. You're suffering. You're withering. You're being drained and plundered and killed. You live in death and darkness. Stop lying. You post all of the nice pictures. Oh, look at my husband. Oh, look at my wife. You're lying. You just do it for the gram, as they say. You cannot stand each other yet. All the nice pictures of the family vacations will never lack on that altar of idolatry that you have created on social media, where you exalt yourself above God. The suffering will continue if you do not repent. And then, one other thing that you must know about sin is the fact that there is something called iniquity. Iniquity is the root of sin inside of us. It is where sin originates in our hearts. As long as you have iniquity inside of you, you will struggle with sin. That is why you can confess with your mouth, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And even spend time in church, reading your Bible. You try, right? But still, those pulses are not leaving you. It's because the iniquity, that spirit of iniquity, is still alive in you. I'll take an example. You can commit adultery, right? And adultery is sin. But the iniquity that provoked that adultery is lust. The source of your adultery is lust. Another example is you may kill someone to have money, and murder is sin, but the iniquity that was at the root of that murder was greed. So most sins can be traced back to the seven main types of iniquity, which Christianity has called the seven deadly sins. There is lust, which is excessive desire for sexual gratification specifically, but just for general things of the flesh. You lust over something, that desire, that obsession with it. Then there is gluttony, which is the overindulgence or overconsumption of food or drink. And there is greed next, which is the excessive desire for material wealth or possessions. And there is sloth, which is laziness, avoidance of work or duty. You all who would rather collect welfare than work. You are guilty of sloth. And sloth, do you know what the Bible talks about? The lazy person. It says that the lazy will be robbed. It's gone. You lose everything because you won't work. You won't be a steward of what God gave you. God gives you 24 hours in your day, and you spend 4 hours out of those 24 watching Netflix and being on social media. You are a lazy person, and you cannot inherit anything in the kingdom of God if you're lazy, because God himself works all the time. Jesus said so. The Father works, never stops working. So you don't want to work. You want things easy. And that's why you are trapped and your life is leaking because of sloth. You have to pray to remove that spirit. Lord, I reject the spirit of sloth. You should pray like that. I renounce and I reject the spirit of sloth. You sloth in my life, I crucify you. I nail you to the cross. I burn you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. This is spiritual warfare. Your problems are spiritual. They are not physical. You are a slave to darkness. That is why you are withering. And you need to combat darkness with spiritual tools, not with sitting and listening to your next self-help guru or the lying celebrities who lie to you 24/7. And then we have wrath, which is intense and uncontrolled anger, bitterness, and hatred. My goodness, isn't Judah guilty of this? All of that violence, why? Because the anger, the bitterness inside, it's boiling. Boiling. No, and you know, people inherit, they appropriate this iniquity as their personality. No, I just have anger issues. I'm working on it. You don't have anger issues. You are demonically possessed by the spirit of wrath, this iniquity of bitterness and of anger, and you need to root it out. You need to fast for 3 days, 4 days, 7 days, and pray morning and evening. You need to be praying, Lord, I repent of the anger that is inside of me. I repent of having acted out of anger. And you list those occasions that you've lashed out at someone, that you have abused someone, abused your child, abused your husband, abused your wife, abused your colleague, because you cannot contain the boiling anger that is inside of you, the boiling hatred for yourself, hatred for the world. This is iniquity. You need to sit before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. I repent for having acted this way. And I pray, Father, right now, I renounce the spirit of bitterness. I renounce the dominion of anger in my life. I renounce it. I cut it. I burn it with the fire of the Holy Spirit. These are the things you should be praying. You should take 5, 6, 7 days of fasting. And you pray this morning and evening. You focus on this anger. And you tell me at the end of it, if you still have those, quote, anger issues, end quote. Your life is leaking because you will not do what the Bible asks you to do. It's that simple. Very, very simple. And then we have envy. Envy is jealousy or resentment towards other people's successes or possessions. And last but not least, oh my goodness, not least at all, pride. And pride is the primary reason why some of you listening to this will not accept what I'm telling you. If you're mad at what I'm saying, I do not care. This is the fruit factory of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is building, is cultivating people here who will be industrially productive people in manufacturing and producing good fruit for his kingdom. So if you cannot take and digest the truth, this is not for you. It's not. And I will not give you sugary doctrine. I will not lie to you. The church is sick, and the church is a witch today, because no one has given you solid food, and because your pastors are witches are and warlocks and Satanists and pedophiles and Freemasons. So this is not that. Send me the email to complain if you want. I don't care. You didn't send me. You didn't train me. You haven't put me here. You did not put God's words in my mouth to speak. He did. So, pride is your worst enemy. There is no relationship with God if there is pride. Because the first prerequisite to approach, to be able to just approach him, you need to be like a child. And children, because they're children, they do not yet know to be prideful, because they're in a state where they are still learning about everything. So a child will make a mistake and not have an issue with it. They don't really understand that it's a mistake. They're just living life, right? A child would approach their parent. They know they need the parent to survive. They know there is nothing they can do outside of what mom and dad will allow. And this is how we should be with God. That is why God says, it is those who are like children who will enter the kingdom of God. He said to be able to enter, you need to be like this child. It is the prerequisite. You cannot be an adult. You cannot come before God as an adult who knows something. You need to be humble like a child, childlike. Come before him, Lord, I come before you as your son, as your daughter. Like a newborn baby, I bend myself before you, Lord. And I ask that you would please have courtesy and respect. Have courtesy for God. He's not your mate. He isn't. He's not your friend. But he can be your friend. But you understand what I mean. He's God. Even if you have an intimate relationship with him, which I believe I do, and which you should also do. God can even call you his friend. Jesus called his disciples his friends. But they knew that he was God. There is a certain reverence, a certain respect, a certain humility you must have before God to be able to even approach him, let alone have a relationship with him. And you all who fabricate life lessons, self-help books, and all of that stuff, It is pride that does that, because you will not submit to what God said from the beginning. You would rather extract text from the Bible, twist it, put it in a book, and then sell it and say that you've sold millions of copies. These self-help platforms, the Jay Shetties, satanic platforms, the schools of success, satanic platforms. Men who some of them flat out disrespect God, and you're sat there listening to them. Many of them just blaspheme him. And you're sat there listening, drinking that poison. And then you wonder why you're withering. You wonder why, as a man, you do not know how to be a man. You wonder why, as a woman, you act like a man. Didn't Steve Harvey say, think like a man and act like a lady? I don't know what the title was. Lies, false doctrines, satanic doctrines. You should think like a woman. You are a woman. Please, look, look. So, now that we've talked about iniquity, which is the source and the root of the sin, you must take a second and map out for yourself the type of iniquity that you see that is at work in your life, in your family. Observe your parents, your grandparents, your bloodline. Because the word of God said that he will hold the sin to the fourth and the third and the fourth generation. So there are things that your grandparents did that you are suffering the consequences of. You are suffering that. I don't care if you think it's true or not. I don't care if you think that you shouldn't suffer what your grandfather did. It does not matter. It is irrelevant. There is a spiritual law that God, the Almighty Creator, installed. He said that for the guilty, their guilt, he will carry it over to the fourth generation. Until the fourth generation. And he said of the righteous that he will carry the blessing of the righteous over to the thousandth generation. So there is a law at play here. And from the law at play, you can map out the character of the God who is speaking, because he is blessing to a thousandth and cursing to a fourth. That is the balance of his goodness. But it does not negate the fact that there is bloodline, generational affliction or blessing, depending on what your ancestors did. There are some of you, the only reason you are enjoying the luxury you're enjoying, living the life you're living, the only reason you have a healthy marriage is because you're benefiting from the blessing of your great-grandmother, who was a devout Christian and to whom God said, I will look after your descendants. Because your life, the way you live your life like a heathen. But you are enjoying a good marriage. You have a good wife or a good husband who protects and covers you and provides and cares for his family. You have a good wife who helps you, who is your helper. She's a good mother, a good woman who you can count on. She's your partner in life. You actually call her partner. You actually call her my flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. But you did nothing to deserve that. It is the blessing of God upon you because of some great-great-grandfather or great-great-great-grandmother that God made a covenant with and promised, I will look after your descendants. I will bless your marriages. And you don't even know that you're benefiting from that. And you will open your large, filthy mouths and insult the word of God. You have to stop that foolishness. Please. Stop the foolishness, the disrespect for God. His wrath is coming upon the earth. Go and read Isaiah 24. His wrath is coming upon the earth. And if you have not straightened yourself up, it will kill you. He, God, will kill you, not Satan. He, his punishment, his judgment will kill you. So, after you have mapped those out, start looking for patterns. Are there patterns of divorce? Are there patterns of poverty? Are there patterns of violence? Are there patterns of death? Look for patterns. When you start looking at the pattern, you will see exactly how Satan is afflicting your family. Which kind of spirits are active in your own life? Are there patterns of not getting married? You know, marriage is a blessing. That is why the destruction of marriages is Satan's, one of his most important tasks. That's why he's perverting the man and telling the woman that she needs to be a man so that he can destroy the marriage, because the marriage is the unit in which God has put much authority and much anointing for dominion, as it is stated in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. And then God made man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. Let me go and read it. Then God said, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all creeping things that creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So man, the Lord just first made man and woman and gave them dominion as man and woman. And then he created that institution and put a specific blessing upon the institution of marriage. Do you understand? Us. You don't need to be married to walk in the dominion of Christ that you inherit as a co-heir with Jesus Christ. But when you are married, there is that additional layer, like an anointing that the Lord has put inside this covenant of marriage. So destroying that covenant is destroying the construct around the covenant and how this world, the order that God created for that covenant to rule, to fructify and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So, start looking for those patterns. And once you do that, you need to confess. Confession is not repentance. Confession means going before God and agreeing with him about the things you have done that are rebellious to his word. You agree with him. It is not trying to justify these things. The second you're trying to say, no, but this happened to me, you are not in confession any longer. You are in pride. It is not trying to justify these things, but taking accountability for them. Finding excuses for bad behavior is the trademark of pride and arrogance. Humble yourselves before the Lord and confess that you did wrong. This is the only way you can be forgiven of your sin. A confession, an example of a confession would be, Lord, I have been having sex my entire life with people outside of marriage. I know this is fornication and that your word asks us not to fornicate. So I confess that I have rebelled against you. I confess that I have acted against your decrees, your statutes. I confess that I am out of right standing with you. By confessing your sin, you are exposing the iniquity inside of you and the power that it holds over you. Iniquity and sin thrive in secrecy. That is why Satan always tries to hide his iniquity. And he will always try to bind you in a yoke of don't say it, I have to protect it, I have to cover up. That is how you continue to sin and to sin and to sin until you're dead. You have waited until you're dead. But when you confess, you are freeing yourselves from the shackles of iniquity. The way you conquer iniquity is by opening your mouth and saying, I have actually done this. By speaking it and exposing it, you are breaking that yoke. But if you try to protect your sin, the iniquity will continue to eat at you and it will continue to grow and it will only cause you to sin more so that you can cover up the original sin. You have probably experienced a situation that started with a small lie you told someone. And before you knew it, you had lied to 5 different people because the original thing you said was a lie. And instead of coming clean and just saying, you know what, that was not true, that was a lie, and this is the truth. No, instead of doing that, because of pride and the yoke of iniquity inside of you that wants to devour you completely, you instead chose to protect your image. And you chose to tell other lies so that people wouldn't know that you were originally lying. And now you are becoming stressed and mentally oppressed because you're trying to keep up with these different lies that you're telling these different people. And this is how sin leads to death. This is how iniquity is eating your flesh, eating your mind, eating your spirit. A little situation that may have seemed harmless is now about to cause trouble to people around you who had nothing to do with it because you lied to them and to others and you continue to lie to cover it up, thinking it will go away. And now you have become like your father, Satan, the father of all lies. You are his child. You cannot abide in the truth of Christ that sets free. And you act like the devil. Can't. And God's truth will never be able to set you free if you're filled with iniquity. 1 John chapter 2 says the following. 1 John chapter 2. It says, now, by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So you cannot say that you abide in Christ. You are a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ. And you act like Satan. If you act like Satan, then Satan is your father. He is your master. And he is eating, plundering, and destroying your life. Tell the truth. Confess the sin with your mouth. Lord, I did this. Go to the person you've hurt with your sin. And confess it, expose it, shame the devil, and you shall be set free. Because it is the truth. That confession, you're bringing the power of the truth to destroy the yoke of iniquity. Truth will always conquer. Truth will shine like a light in the darkness. But if you try to protect your darkness, you will be overcome by it. So how you stop this leak and the withering? It starts by confessing your sin. You confess your sin to the Lord, and if necessary, sometimes he will ask you to go to the people you've hurt and confess what you've done so that you can stop the iniquity from eating at you, from eating and destroying your life, and from pushing you to do more and more sin to try and cover up or justify the previous sin, or to try and push you to get desensitized to sin. You cannot desensitize. You should be hating sin. When sin comes around you, you should reject it. You should say, I reject you, sin. If a woman is looking at you a certain way and you know you're married, you should be rejecting that woman, rejecting those eyes and those fluttery butterfly eyelashes, fluffing at you. You should be saying, you know what? I am a married man. And I rebuke this kind of behavior. Thank you very much. And so, once you've done the confession, now comes the repentance part. Because confessing is not repenting. You've confessed it. You've said to God, I have done this. You've gone and said to the people you've hurt, I am guilty of this. If you ever cheated on your wife, do not think that when you accept Christ, he will accept you, or when you go and repent, he will say, okay, I've forgiven you, because he will forgive you if you're honest about it. But you actually go and get clean. Confess it to your wife, because you hurt her. It affected her life. Even if she didn't know, you may have brought sickness into your house. You defiled your marriage bed by sleeping around with other women, or by sleeping around with other men. If you're a woman and you cheated, that child is not your husband. You need to go and come clean. Or else your entire family, including your children, will inherit that iniquity. And your son, the son you are petting and saying, oh, you're so cute and so forth, his wife will do that to him. Because the curse will continue. You are cursing your own bloodline. You are cursing your descendants. And you are cursing yourself. And Satan wants you to curse yourself. That is why he will give you all the right ideas, all the right plans to not have to confess and come clean. And he will put fear in your heart. If I say it, he will leave me. Well, who sent you to do it? You must be able to deal with those consequences. You have to be able to deal with the consequences. If you keep it to yourself, you're acting like your father, Satan, and you know what happens. All he does is kill, steal, and destroy. So you will wither and wither and wither until you die. And when you die, you will go and drink hot lava in the lake of fire, burnt by burning rocks with no drinking water in eternity. That is what is waiting for you. So once you've done the confession, which is so important, this is what I was talking about, that there is a legal side to the spirit realm. Heaven has our Father. He is a king and he is a judge. You need to understand how his justice system works. You do not understand how the justice system works, you are bound to end up in prison. And you have to understand these principles. We've talked about the principle of sin. We've talked about now the principle of confessing your sin. And the next most important one that actually wipes away the sin and gives you a clean slate. When you confess, the sin is still not gone. It is not. It is after you repent that the blood of Jesus cleanses you and restores you in a right standing, in a righteous position with the Lord, our Father in heaven. So, we are already over an hour in this second part. So, I will stop it here. I will now make repentance another recording. Repentance may take two or three more parts because we have to go deep into this. People do not understand repentance. That is why you are still afflicted. That is why you cannot get the sexual, homosexual pulses to leave your body. That is why you are a host of spirits and demons. Because you have not understood how to repent. And through this teaching, the Lord Jesus Christ will give you the right understanding of this very radical, important, and it has a priority in a Christian's life. And you will understand it. If you finish on this listening to it and you don't put it into practice, then that will be like burning coals on your own head. You will harvest the fruit of that. And we know what the fruit of that is. It is death. So, thank you for listening. I invite you to subscribe to the Fruitful Report, which is something that the Lord made me launch. It is a newsletter where every Tuesday you will receive a recap of all the prophecies and teachings that the Lord made me publish the week before. So, for example, for this week, as I'm publishing all of this week, next week I'm going to write an email and send to everyone who has subscribed, telling them exactly what was published, when it was published, and what it is about, with all the links where you can access them. And this is important to the Lord because he said that his people need to be keeping up with his voice, with his instruction. You need to be up to date with these things. And this report will allow you to do just that. I will not send personal emails. I will not send random emails. There is no advertising. There is no monetization on this platform, period. And if you do want to support the platform, there is a link in the description bar that I will add to the audio. Or you can go to the website and find all of the information needed. That link you can pay with PayPal or credit card. Yeah, but nothing is monetized here because this is not a work for money. The Lord sent me here. Before I was born, he sent me. He prepared. He knew what I was going to do before he sent me to this earth. And then he took me and he prepared me. And now he's revealing his mysteries to me that I may proclaim them to his people. He's revealing things that are yet to come to me that I would proclaim them to his people. I paid nothing for that. So I am not qualified to charge you for anything about that. He gave it freely. I give it freely. These things that your pastors and your chief bishops and your prophets, so-called, are dragging you and plundering you for conferences. Come to the healing conference. Love Elias. The Lord has proclaimed the warning to this man. He is a wizard. You all who pay the $300, $400, $500 to go to these conferences, when you can sit in your bedroom and pray to God and God will heal you himself. The healing comes from the Holy Spirit. What are you paying men, wizards, to teach you healing? Is this madness? Did he have to pay for anything if he were ever a servant of God? Did he pay to receive the gift of healing? Why are you paying him? My friends, open your eyes. Open your eyes. This is witchcraft. This is what wizards do. They charge you to practice magic on you. The Holy Spirit does not work that way. Remember the man who could not walk, who came to Peter and said, and Peter looked at him and he said, money I cannot give you, but this I can give you. Stand up and walk. Did he ask that man, come to my conference and pay $400 so that I can give you back? Listen. Christians, my brothers and sisters, seriously, please go and read the litmus test on the blog the litmus test. Type it into the search bar. It is a detailed teaching that the Lord gave to his people on how to detect false prophets. He gave you what the true prophets do, so that when the true prophets do not do that, then you would know that they are not of God. It is easy to detect a false bill when you know what a true bill is like. And that is the meaning of walking in the light. Walking in the light is not learning what the darkness is. It is to be so in such closeness with the light, in such closeness with the truth, that when you hear a lie, your spirit will reject it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will add a link also in the description bar. So thank you for being here. And I do hope that you will not go back to your normal life as if you didn't just hear this message, but you will take it into account and go in your prayer closet, or even right now, and begin to repent, begin to confess, begin to ask God, Lord, what must I do to stop this leak? What must I do to stop the leak? And there is a 100% chance that he will say, repent. So I'm telling you, repent. This is Elvira, and I am the Lord's servant for this ministry, the Fruit Factory. And I thank you for tuning into this broadcast, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.